All right, here we go on a Monday. It is Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July holiday weekend. Long weekend. It was
long
nice,
weekend
man.
For most people because it lands on a Friday, so that, you really get
you
the 3-day
went
weekend.
To the lake, right? You went to lake or no?
So, well, local lake, right? Lake Wacomas.
Okay.
I was not far. Just spent a lot of time in the pool outside. A friend invited me because they do a bunch of events up at that lake. So I was a part of a, despite the fact I hadn't played but a handful of times, I was a part of a Frisbee Golf.
Okay.
Foursome. My arm was a little sore the next day, which was kind of embarrassing. But I guess you don't Makes throw sense. A frisbee as hard as you can
yeah.
18 times in a row. It probably would be a little bit sore. So, yeah, good 4th of July weekend. How about you?
Yeah, same pool a couple days. Went to the pool, hung out there, and then went over family and hung out with nephews on the 4th, grilled out a little bit. And my nephews, for the first time, watched the movie Little Giants. They loved it. And I had forgotten about some of the moments. And you're like, you realize when you're older, and like some of the lines, you're just like, oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah. All kids' movies secretly sneak stuff in for adults.
Little Giants. I forgot how great of a movie that is. Like, that is an all-time movie. All-time movie. So they enjoyed it because they hadn't seen, like, they had seen The Sandlot and some others. But they had not seen Little Giants. So we did that after dinner with the nephews, hung out with them. Played some video games with them and stuff. It was a good 4th of July, man. And then some fireworks. Didn't really go and shoot off any on the 4th, but it was fun.
That sounds like a good weekend. Drew, did you do anything fun?
Oh, we went to go see fireworks, and you know, it was good to just relax and debrief. Spent some time going around to a couple of different places to eat, which is good. Some local places that we hadn't
been finally,
to.
Yeah, did you try someplace new? Barbecue, or what kind of food?
Okay, so I've had 30 Hot before. Wife had 30 Hot for the first time. Loved it. Very, very good.
Our Monday lunch partner.
That's right.
And then we did not go to a new barbecue place. We went to a spot that we haven't been to in a long while, and that was Joe's. We haven't been to in a minute.
Nice. Okay. So. Well, awesome. Hope everybody had a great weekend.
Sounds like a busy weekend.
You guys can interact with us. At some point, we'll have to talk about Joey Chestnut again and what he was able to do over the weekend. Just another mustard belt. Bink is already in the building today. He's filling in on the drive.
He's prepping to come talk about it.
And I'm assuming that's why Bink is hosting the drive this afternoon at 2, is just so he can start his show talking about what Joey Chestnut did.
It's going to be his
But you guys can text in 913-586-7965. That's the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Video stream up and running, and I encourage you to go to the video stream, like always, but right this second, as a matter of fact.
Facebook, I think that's important.
YouTube, Twitter, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss anything we're doing at the station on the video side of things. We mentioned last Wednesday that we had something fun to announce, something that'll get you guys involved, something we've been working on for a little bit of time, and I think this past weekend showcased why we, in fact, have to do this. And that is, it's about time that Bobby Witt Jr. had some more support from the fans.
Yeah, and you know why? That's today. We are happy to say, and because here's the truth. I want to mention something before we announce what the actual event, labeling, what you can all join here in a moment is going to be called. Because for the second straight year, Bobby Witt Jr. is the best shortstop in baseball. And for the second straight year, Gold, you and I have to watch him be a backup to some lesser player. Because of what? Batting average this year for Jacob Wilson? No. Because what? Last year they just didn't feel like it? A superstar, in my opinion, and in your opinion, and I believe in the Royals' opinion, in Major League Baseball's opinion, and everyone else around, should be treated as such. So far, he is not being treated as such. So, Gold, what are we happy to announce today?
We are forming the Wittisons. It's time. The Wittisons is going to be an officially sanctioned fan club for one Bobby Witt Jr., the best shortstop in baseball. It's time that we have a group to support Bobby. And with all the all-star voting the last 2 years, as you said, Cody, the fact that he hasn't been a starter yet, this is now the perfect time to actually announce it. And so that's why if you're watching on the video stream today, we are donning a mullet. We are donning
We're dressed
Bobby's
like Bobby Witt Jr.
sunglasses. You're wearing the old school Witt shirt from the road trip.
This did talk about how far back we thought about him as a future superstar and why we were also dubbing ourselves as the leaders of this enclave, the senior Wittisons.
Well, of course.
Now, I don't know how you feel about that as somebody who's not in his 40s yet, but you're going to have to deal with it. We're the senior Wittisons and the rest of you can be Wittisons. As part of this, our plan is to launch a series of events to help bring even more attention to what is a superstar in your town named Bobby Witt Jr. And so, even this Sunday, our very first event will take place. You know how we're wearing wigs? They'll have some wigs to give away. But how about even better than that? They will have barbers on site at 10:30 on Sunday to cut your hair like Bobby Witt Jr.'s. They will have a look-alike contest to look like Bobby Witt Jr. ahead of the game as well. So we're planning event-based stuff, and it all starts this Sunday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this. This is, as you said, just one of the events we're doing. But if you think you already maybe you already look like Bobby Wood Jr. Maybe you already got the stash going a little bit.
You should have got the stash, bud.
That's where I screwed up. You know, I shaved on like Saturday, and I normally, of course, don't have a mustache, and so I just shaved like normal. But I realized I should have actually have kept the stash just in time for Sunday's event that we're going to have out at Kauffman Stadium. And obviously, we'll be selecting a winner. You and I, as the senior Wittesons, will be selecting a winner in that look-alike contest. And I believe we've been told the Royals are fully on board with this. Bobby Witt Jr. likes the name, likes the idea, likes the support.
So he's on board. The player, the man, the myth, the legend, right? Bobby Witt Jr. is on board. You said the team's on board. To my understanding, Major League Baseball would like some involvement. They would like to dip their toe in the Wittesen water, as it were, and figure out exactly what we can do to help. Because here's the truth. I think if you go to any video Major League Baseball sends out, and this is honestly the truth, and it's like talking about baseball players and the stars in the sport, if it doesn't include Bobby Witt Jr., the very first player would be like, what the hell? You're not going to include one of the stars of the sport? And some of this goes back to GoldenEye's East Coast versus Midwest and all this other stuff where it's like, I'm tired of the guys who play in the West Coast getting more attention and all the stuff that comes with it. Bobby Wood Jr. is one of the best players in the sport. He should have his own fan group. And the fact that we're going to have barbers out on Sunday to cut your hair like Bobby Wood Jr., have sunglasses like these, have wigs like these, have the look-alike contest. Have I asked Bobby Wood Jr. if he will attend the look-alike contest? Yes. Do I have official confirmation he will yet? No, but
he might.
The request is there, and it is not a no yet. So, like, what I can tell you is we're doing everything we can to try to launch this thing hard on Sunday and hope to get as many of you out there on Sunday for the Wittesons.
Yeah, it's the perfect time based on how the All-Star game went as well. We've been working on this for a while. Some people are asking about how we came up with an A. I'll be honest. We had to make sure that legal cleared this thing. It turns out there's some people
we've gotten in trouble on this show. We gotta be smart.
I'm just saying, you know, perhaps that LeBron James has something trademarked that's out there as well.
Yeah, it turns out, that one's probably a little tougher. So we're going Wittesons. It also leans in perfectly with the senior Wittesons and everything else in between it. Again, I understand Jacob Wilson's having a good year. It's not even necessarily about that. The only statistic in which he is better at Bobby Witt Jr. than baseball this year is batting average. He is not better at stolen bases, at doubles, at homers, at defense. He's not better at any of those things. He just simply got a few more singles, and now I have to... And superstars are supposed to get the superstar treatment. Look at Mikel Garcia. Alex Bregman gets to go to the All-Star game. Well, Mark, Mikel Garcia, who's had a great year...
Another snub.
A more deserving player has to sit at home because the superstar... This is just about... If you got a superstar in your town, you should appreciate it, which is why it's going to be a series of events, to be clear, but why we want to start this one and just making you guys all look like Bobby Witt Jr. The look-alike contest, you can get your hair cut right there, like Gold said, if you want to help win it. There will be prizing associated with it. To my understanding, excellent prizes. Yeah,
more details to come as the week continues on that kind of stuff.
It could only climb, to my understanding, the scaling of this. It's like the number of tickets you turn in at the arcade. Right now, prizing level's good. It could get out of control, maybe, by the time we hit the end of the week, which is what we're trying to, as Gold said, more details to come on that end. Yeah, but the Wittesons are here. We want you guys to join us. We want you to have fun with us. We want you out there on Sunday. Gold's hair is not quite long enough that I can make him get the Bobby Witt cut, I don't think.
No, I'm gonna work on the stash this week. I will not shave the stash. Maybe by Sunday when we're out there. Maybe by Sunday. It'll at least be noticeable enough. I guess I got to keep like a little bit of the... like a little soul patch or something. Yeah. Bobby's kind of got a little something like that going on as well.
You can take a look at it before
you
trim it.
You guys right now.
What's that?
I like the get up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's great.
So the Royals are on board with this as well. We've got Major League Baseball. It sounds like Major League Baseball also is going to be behind this as well in terms of supporting our creation of the Wittesons. So we're fired up for this. We'll tell you guys more about it throughout the show today, throughout the week, as new details come out as well. But this is not just about this week. This is because it is time that we get a little more respect on Bobby Witt Jr.'s name on a national scale.
I like these wigs. These wigs were not...
It's kind of comfortable. I thought they'd be uncomfortable and itchy. They're not.
We had them specialty cut to try to look like Bobby Witt Jr.'s hair.
Yeah.
They're not just like a wig off the street. They're the exact same brand I bought for the Creed is Good wig.
You think they're the same brand?
They are the exact same brand as the Creed is Good wig. When's the last time your hair was that long? Even in your childhood?
Never. Never had
it. It's a good look.
Bald.
It's Cody, a good look.
Cody, I
could try to grow a mustache out for Sunday too, but I got to be honest. I don't think you'd be able to tell.
Yeah, we've tried with the facial hair for you. It's not.
It took a month.
It's not going
to
happen.
I don't know how to describe the way that you guys look because I
just go to a video stream.
The only thing is I cannot have my headphones on the same time as the crown.
They're tucked behind
me. I can hear you. They're just around my. Like, I can hear you still, Drew. But it's not
Twitter,
as much.
Twitter, Twitch, YouTube. If you haven't seen it already, we're gonna have a clip up as well later.
The live stream is where to go.
And we're going to talk more about the All-Star game at 11 o'clock because you mentioned Mikel Garcia's name, and he snubbed. I think Carlos Estevez, another snub.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
We've gone through this so many times when it comes to All-Star voting, and it ends up being usually a bigger market thing, unfortunately. And there's the reality, right? The team is under 500. You know, the fact they probably weren't going to have four or five All-Stars, even though individually you can make a strong case for Carlos and Mikel Garcia. But today, on July 7th, the Wittesons officially are formed, officially born, and you and I are the senior Wittesons.
Are we allowing other people to be senior Wittesons, or we're just forever the senior Wittesons?
We'll see.
And everyone
we'll
else
see.
Is
For
a part.
Now, I think it's just two senior Wittesons, and then we have the Wittesons.
Junior Wittesons? I believe there will be.
Wow.
Because, Cody and Gold don't. We don't launch stuff without the possibility of gear. There will be gear.
There will be.
There will be gear. We like to make sure that people are fully on board. We make sure that you are set up outside of that. Look, and this weekend was just a prime example of the freak of player he is. That slide. Oh, my God.
That's as good as it gets, man.
A Hezzy slide foot first
that was
to slap his hand back?
It was one of the craziest slides I've ever seen. If you look at the replay when the Royals broadcast cut to, of course, the play at the plate, you couldn't even see Bobby. He wasn't even in the frame. He was out, frankly, by a mile. And yet somehow went all Matrix or something and avoided the tag. And then just my favorite part was if you watch the replay, the tag that Bobby had, not only did he avoid the tag, but then he just casually went around and just slapped home plate.
I don't know how you do that in full motion.
It was awesome.
That's
yeah, all in
crazy.
One motion. Yep. And I love, I posted about it. I'm sure you did too. And of course, there's like a few people. Oh, it's not that difficult to do. Okay, what do we do? That's further proof that people will complain about anything. Give the man his props. That was one of the most ridiculous slides we've ever seen by a Royals player. And it's going to be the most ridiculous slide we see in baseball this year.
We will obviously attempt to get Bobby Wood Jr. on the show this week to get his official endorsement, although I am told he's a fan.
Yes.
So his official endorsement of the Wittesons. But yeah, I mean, look, you want to know my dream? My dream scenario is that we get out there on Sunday and you and I, the judges of the Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest at Sunday, all the stuff starts at 10:30, by the way. I've confirmed that. Starts at 10:30, just outside the stadium. We will be at Kauffman for it. They'll give you the free haircut. We'll have swag. We'll have all this stuff. We've got barbers lined up to cut your hair in order to do it. We'll all be set up outside of there. But my dream scenario is that when you and I are doing the judgment, that maybe we could, it's nice to have a third voice. Sometimes you and I don't always agree on something. Maybe it's I want the decision to be difficult on who is the winner of the Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest. Wouldn't hurt to have a little insight from the man himself.
That's right.
Can I just get him out there for like 5 minutes when you and I narrow it down to like three? We get it down to like, this is the championship round and let him be the ultimate deciding vote outside of it. I guarantee you we're going to have some stuff. You know, like there's just going to be stuff. We got a lot to do on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it throughout the show today and throughout the week as well as the Wittesons are officially born here in Kansas City. You were talking about, though, the road trip for the Royals a little bit. So winning road trip, they go 4-3. Did anything change for you? Because I'm going to stick with what I said last week. This team needed to take 3 or 4 from the Mariners, a team that you were chasing in the wild card race, to gain some ground to get a spot where you're 3 back or so of the wild card. That did not happen. They had a nice series against the Diamondbacks, and they're in the same spot. In fact, they actually lost a half game, if we're being honest. They may have had a winning road trip. They're 5.5 back in the wild card standing.
Which is what they were after that second loss to the Mariners.
So the same thing. I mean, we're in the exact same spot that we've been in the last week or so. It's now July 7th. We're 3 days away from the July 10th mark that I kind of had been throwing out there for a while about, hey, at that point in time, wherever they're at, for sure, the determination. But I think after the Mariners series, you're too far out in regards to how aggressive I want them to be on anything other than pieces that are here beyond 2025. You know, the rental players, I'm out on that now. But you should be looking. If you can trade Seth Lugo to help you bring back multiple players, I'm interested in that. If you're going to just make a trade, we'll get to Brian Reynolds. His name has been floated out there. You're going to do that. He's got years of control beyond this year. I don't know if he's the player I want them to trade for, but he's a player at least that has multiple years beyond 2025. So it's not just a player that could help you now if you think he's still got a shot, but he helps you in 2026 when you're hoping to still compete.
So it's like multiple things can be true about how I feel about the weekend. I'm not going to change the stance that is at this point. I would not predict this team to make the playoffs. And I had kind of thought I was maybe a game or two gold ahead of your prediction when you were waiting out the Mariners series to kind of see exactly how it was going to go. I haven't changed in that, but I do also think the Royals are playing better baseball, and they do actually, I actually feel like consistent baseball, more reminiscent of when they were playing their better version of themselves earlier this year. It actually feels like it's rounding closer to that. Bobby's playing better at the same time Vinny's playing better, at the same time Salvi's playing a little bit better. Reagan's is hopefully getting, maybe he's not coming back any moment, but at least he's going to start throwing again. So like, it feels like they've got some positive momentum going in their way. What I'm fascinated about this week is, so you don't think they're making the playoffs. You're more interested in selling or buying future pieces, if you're buying, in the sense that they help you for the long-term gain. And similar to where I am, do the Royals view this week as make or break? This leak this week leading into the All-Star game, are they treating this homestand as this, let's let this tell us where we are? And at the end of this, similar to what you did to the Mariners series, because I think you'd agree that the Royals are further behind and less likely to be sellers at the time. Fans are, you are, I am. Outside of that, they're going to be bigger believers in themselves. And I think you probably should be when you're an organization.
Of course.
And they're going to take more time knowing that they've got until the end of July, 3.5 weeks, to hit a trade deadline. Do they treat this week as the balloon? Can you, nice that you had a winning road trip, 4-3. Can you have a better than winning homestand and make us buy back into the idea of we'll put players around you rather than the way it felt like it was heading last week? That's where, like, I feel like the Royals might, I think the Royals are viewing it that way.
Clearly. No, I mean, clearly they still, I mean, whether you listen to Matt Quatrero's comments on, he was on MLB Network Radio yesterday before the game. I heard some of that interview. He obviously, you know, speaks before every game, and we had JJ Piccolo on. I mean, publicly, and I truly actually think internally, they recognize where they're at. Like they fully know that there are X amount of teams in front of them, that they're 5.5 back from a wild card spot, but they still believe that they've got a chance moving forward. I also will just stick with where we've been on this conversation. They are never going to publicly come out and say, yeah, we agree, we're out of it. That just doesn't exist in sports. Like, their actions will show us that at some point in time. If they decide to trade multiple pieces that you think will ensure that they don't compete this year, meaning it's like selling, truly waving the white flag, if they do those, well, then that tells us everything. If they don't, and if we keep sitting here another week after that until the deadline, and they haven't moved on anybody you would consider that would hamper their chances to still compete, well, then, yeah, then that is actually how they believe. But it's one of those deals, like, anybody, like, upset that I'm, you know, upset the Royals haven't waved the white flag. Well, even if they actually are looking towards, quote unquote, doing that we will not know that until a trade or two or three have been made. They don't declare that we're out of it. That's just not how that works.
No, not like we declared the Whittisons. They don't just like, although I got to say, we should have gotten a scepter. Smart on the glasses that look like Bobby's. Smarter than crowns, we should have had a scepter, right? Just one scepter, as you declare it, shouldn't you be?
Could have had it.
Do we miss out on a scepter? Maybe, that's fine. I'll just have a small regret on that, at least for the meantime. But you're right, they don't just declare, we are sellers now. But I do think that they were using this, I think this road trip meant more to them than just the first series did to you. And they had a winning road trip, and this has not been a good road team. And so they thought, okay, maybe kind of things are snapping back in. And they do have multiple guys on offense actually playing decent baseball at a similar time. Now, the question has been all year, because I've seen one or two games in conjunction. The question I've had all year, Gold, is can it go from 1-2 games into 7-10-14? You can't just go 4-3. I don't think. Can you go 4-3 the rest of the way?
Well, that's what.
And finish 10 games above 500? That's because you got to play 10 games above 500 in order to do it.
You'd have to check the math on it. You have to check the math on it. I don't think one, you know, winning road trip by a game, I don't know if that gets it done unless you're going to run it all the way literally to the last weekend of the season. And then you're telling me they're going to literally have also at home, they're going to be 500 the rest of the way.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me do the quick math. It'd be a 571 winning percentage. So
we get in trouble once we start doing math on this show.
I know.
A lot of trouble.
That would be 40 wins.
I'm staying out of it.
That would be 40 wins the rest of the way. They currently have 43 wins. If they went 4-3 every seven games, they would finish the season with 43 wins now? They would finish with 83 wins. Like 83 to 84 wins. That's not quite enough.
No, it's not.
They're going to have to do more than that in order to compete for a playoff spot and do that. And look, even though you and I have declared the fact that we're not sure that, you know, we don't think they're making the playoffs now, doesn't mean that I'm not still rooting for them to do so. I hope they win their next 15 games in a row and make us all look stupid.
Right.
That's way better and way more fun just generally. I think this week is big depending on what you want the Royals to do. If you're still a big believer in this team, still think they can go on a run, still think they can make the playoffs, this week is huge. If you're on the camp of us, and you're not rooting for them to lose, but if you're in the camp of thinking it's not going to happen, and you want the Royals to be on board with that thought, this week is going to be a lot more telling than you think. I think if they end up going like 5-2 over the next seven games, the odds of the Royals being true sellers going way down. They avoid Skeens in this upcoming series against the Pirates because they moved him up. To yesterday?
Yeah, he pitched yesterday for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
They're sub 500 in his starts, including the game they lost yesterday, 1-0. I have never felt a pitcher more in the Zach Greinke spot than the year Zach Greinke won the Cy Young for the Royals, and I watched him take games into the eighth inning that were 1-0 that they lost, and I was like, man, I just feel bad. I just feel bad for them.
Skeens and Bubba Chandler, who's their other top pitcher, him and Bubba Chandler, they're going to end up, these guys, when they're both together in that rotation, are going to end up, you know, having an absurd amount of strikeouts across nine innings and ERAs, you know, below 3, below 2.5 or whatever. And yeah, the Pirates are going to stink. I mean, my guess in a couple of years, they'll end up obviously trading some.
It'll be a Mets or a Yankee or a Dodger or a Blue Jay or whatever else.
Paul Skeens just kind of waiting this one out, I feel like.
Where's Paul Skeens from?
It's a great question. I do not know. I know, obviously, he went to LSU, but I don't know where he's from originally.
I just thought maybe that would give us an indication of which
Texas.
Big market team.
I'll just guess Texas.
He was at Air Force first before LSU, I think, right?
Where is he from originally?
He was born in California. Dodger it is.
Okay.
Fullerton, California. Future Los Angeles Dodger, Paul Skeens. Come on, man.
Yeah. I'm as much as for the Royals' sake, I'm glad they're avoiding Skeens. Selfishly, as a fan, I was hoping, I had some buddies text me. They said they bought tickets for tomorrow night. You know, because the way the schedule was lining up originally, it looked like Skeens was going to pitch tonight.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow night, tonight. And obviously that's not the case. Good for the Royals that you don't avoid Paul Skeens. But yes, a little bummed out that you don't get to see Skeens at the K this year.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That's okay. You can get a Bobby Wood Jr. haircut with this on Sunday instead, you know? If you missed the beginning of the show, Alex and I have officially formed the Wittisons, a fan group for Bobby Wood Jr. because we think he's kind of being disproportionately ignored by the larger fan bases in Major League Baseball, by once again not being an all-star game starter. He didn't even get the superstar treatment. I actually think he's having a better year than Jacob Wilson, because the only stat fans quickly look at
batting average,
and it's just not true.
Yeah,
he's a better WAR player, more power, more stolen bases, better defensive player, and Jacob Wilson had a good year.
Wilson's having a hell of a season. He's going to be the American League Rookie of the Year. It's pretty much going to be a no contest at this point in time based on some of the other rookies that haven't performed the way you would have thought they would. But defense and base running has to matter. And this goes back to the MVP conversation last year, right? A home run, of course, is the thing everybody gravitates to. And Aaron Judge, as we're seeing this year, is also just absolutely ridiculous and incredible. And one of the best power hitters we've seen in a long time. But it is crazy that 2 years in, Bobby Wood Jr. has not been a starting shortstop in the All-Star game. So we're going to try to create some momentum moving forward, because it's not just about this week. Even though we've got a cool event on Sunday, the Wittisons is about more than that. Someone did say it's funny if they watch the video stream, and someone's never watched our video stream before, if they just watched it today.
And they're like, do Cody and Alex always dress the same in crowns and Bobby Wood Jr.-esque sunglasses?
Rock at least maybe not the jersey, maybe not the crown and everything, but I think the wig.
And the sunglasses?
I might have to rock that all week, and I'll work on growing out the stash, and I won't shave the stash at least until
see if
after
my headphones
Sunday.
Fit on top.
Yeah, I can't. I'm going headphone-less today, which we'll see how that goes.
Tell you if something's going on.
We'll see how that goes.
You're just going to have to turn yours up, so at the very least you can
bang
hear
on the glass.
I can still hit the glass.
Yeah,
you hear him?
I hear him. I got it sit next to me. I can hear him.
So you're fine. I was going like the tucked behind the ear.
That wasn't going to work for me.
I might have to switch to earbuds.
I was talking to Cody before the show, and everything fits together. Like if you just wore the sunglasses, it would look a little weird.
A
the way
unit.
Just it together, it fits very.
So we're
very
going
well.
For.
Thanks to our costume designers. You know, we work really hard on this show. This is why we have to have a budget. You know, otherwise we'll
makeup
just spend,
included.
Spend. Again, to my understanding and the way it was explained to me, the Royals are now aware and are officially sanctioning this.
Mm-hmm.
As in the Whittison stuff that I sent out a logo.
You're going to start seeing it.
You're going to start seeing it for sale. For sale at Kauffman Stadium. Like, you're going to be able to be a part and a member of the Whittisons by buying gear there. And not to mention, like, the Sunday stuff and the things we'll have to give away starting at 10:30 on Sunday. But this is, we're sanctioned. And by the way, this show operates unsanctioned, I would say, a lot. So, you know,
now this is fully above board. This one is fully above board. I can promise you that. All right. Up next, though, we'll transition a little bit to the NFL, and the national narrative around another star player here in town is very interesting to us. That's coming up here on Cody and Gold. Just getting started here on a Monday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you.
I lost all my stuff.
Yeah, where'd your wig go?
No, I'm still fully on board with the Whittisons.
You're already done.
As a senior Whittison, I'm clearly on board. Our boss, Steven Spector, came in here and said, hey, can I borrow your stuff for 5 minutes? I think he wants to make sure that we immediately start recruiting. And so nobody else, we have been working on this for a while.
Yeah.
We already felt like it was going this way and the voting with Jacob Wilson. And so even going back to the last All-Star vote, we've been working on this for a while. But the only people in the building who knew were me, Alex, Drew, and Spec. Because, you know, we don't want anybody else stealing the thunder before we're able to make our announcement. So I guess he wants to go recruit people. So he borrowed my wig, my sunglasses,
You'll have it back shortly. We'll talk more about the Whittisons in just a bit. Although I will say,
can we address one thing?
Multiple people have texted in and said, how did you come up with the name? Why did you sell this name? People threw out one of the very obvious names that we would have honestly probably have thought of as well at one point in time. We have already, we've been involved with lawyers in the past, and we would rather not be involved with lawyers again.
This show has personally been threatened with the law.
That's right.
In the last, 4 months.
So we're.
So if you think I want to get mixed up with LeBron's lawyers, I'll just be honest, I don't.
That's right.
The Whittisons is a great name anyway. And again, it allows us to be the senior Whittisons, which I think is an important part of this process. Yeah. I stand by it.
Yeah. And we hope to see you out of the K on Sunday. We'll continue, as I said, to talk about it. But on Sunday, our first event with the Whittisons, your chance to win a Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest. We will be judging.
Prizing associated. We will be more judging. Details to come. Mm-hmm. We will be judging. And like you said, if you're like, well, how can I look more like Bobby? Free Bobby Wood Jr. haircuts before the game as well. That all starts at 10:30, by the way.
And if you can grow a stash suggestion, you might want to start growing it out.
Or get a really good fake one.
Yep.
Yeah.
That will help your case, I think, on Sunday. All right, let's talk about one of the other biggest stars in sports. And of course, right here in Kansas City, that's number 15, Patrick Mahomes. He was hanging out, I think, at a commercial shoot.
It was. Like
a fake State Farm last week before the 4th of July holiday, before he ended up going on vacation and everything. And Kay Adams show was out there, and they were talking to Patrick Mahomes just about where things are at in the offseason and once again what the national narrative and national media is having to say.
Yeah, and look, this is a really short clip, but this is where it kind of stems in my brain. I don't know why.
I've had to sit back and just listen to people talk, and I'm like, let's just play football and just handle it all out there.
Okay, so like, let's just play football and we'll handle it all out there. And it sounds calm enough, but when I realize it's like the disconnect between the national and the local media, and sometimes I think both sides have gotten a little bit, not even local media, local fans, both sides are getting it a little bit wrong. One is, he is still the greatest quarterback on the planet, and to pretend otherwise from a national perspective is the dumbest conceivable thought in my brain. The other part is, I think it's okay to admit what is both true and happens to every great quarterback. Patrick Mahomes had the worst year of his career last year. He was inaccurate at times. He did not throw a good deep ball. I thought he rushed throws as a result of poor play around him. And look, some of it is a mix of lack of talent in the wide receiver unit because it got hurt and a lack of talent in the left tackle position that even when he wasn't being pressured, he made mistakes that Patrick Mahomes typically doesn't make. I think it's okay to admit Patrick Mahomes had a bad year by his standard, I will point out. A bad year. But that he's still the greatest quarterback on the planet, and if 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards happens this year, you shouldn't be stunned.
All you have to ask yourself, if it is a wild card game, AFC title game, divisional round game, doesn't matter what round, and you need someone to go out there and get a game-winning drive or just win a football game for you, There's no way you're picking anybody else. I'm sorry. You can tell me all this all you want to about stats last particular season. There's nobody else you would pick, and any GM would pick first. If they said one drive right now to win it all, who do I want as my quarterback? There's nobody else you'd rather have. And so that is still the reality of the National Football League in 2025. And it's going to be that way for multiple years ahead, right? He's still just about to have his 30-year-old season, right? He's not 38 years old or something. He's got plenty of very, very good football ahead of him.
And a lot of peak years for quarterbacks happen at age 30.
And I do think we have to understand, you know, if you're able to get, and this is a big if, but if you're able to get average left tackle play, or best case scenario, Josh Simmons turns out to be the real deal, as in his ceiling, no matter how skeptical you are, we would all agree his ceiling is being a top five tackle in football.
Yes.
That's his ceiling. Doesn't mean he'll get there. Doesn't mean
his floor is out of league.
Doesn't mean it's getting there this year by any means either. But that's where, if all of a sudden Mahomes has a tackle like that this year, Rice doesn't get suspended and stays healthy, and you add him to a group that already had Xavier Worthy, who came on strong at the end of the season, yeah, I think the numbers will come. The numbers will come again for Patrick Mahomes. But I've told you this about the team as a whole. I love the narrative that is out there, because the lasting image was that pitiful performance in the Super Bowl. And everybody now is like, okay, it's over. It's just done. And they're counting them out. And it can change very quickly 2 weeks into the season. But I love that. I mean, we were looking at odds today. I was talking to you about just betting odds and stuff. I mean, the Chiefs have the third best odds in the AFC to win it. They have, you know, they don't have the best or second best Super Bowl odds. I think they're co-favorites maybe, but like that's crazy. You're getting great value on them for a team that should be, I know this is crazy, should be better. Now they won't win. I don't think they're winning 15 games again, but will they be better as you head into the postseason as a team? I think they will be.
I think this kind of goes back to like a stat that Matt Verderam had put out a week ago. And this is just kind of furthering the point, which is, look, again, I'm not denying the fact that Patrick Mahomes had his worst season as a professional. I don't think he denied that. He made uncharacteristic mistakes in the regular season. But man, Gold, to your point, when it is time to do it, like when it is like, we better do something or we're going to lose this AFC playoff game, well, then you better get to it. This is Patrick Mahomes' stats, according to Matt Verderam, in his 16 now AFC playoff games. So to your point of, they've got the third best odds. 16 AFC playoff games, so one full regular season. He's actually a game short now of the current regular season. He has thrown 36 touchdowns to 3 interceptions and like 4,800 yards. He's played a season in the AFC now, and that's the season. What, the single greatest season in NFL history, essentially? I mean, especially when you're considering the fact, it's not that because it's only 36 touchdowns, but when you're considering the fact that he's doing that against teams that were good enough to actually make the playoff field. They had to be good enough to make the playoff field, and that's who he's doing it against. Not he just beat up on a Jacksonville Jags team in week 4 or beat up on a Giants squad in week 9. He did this against playoff teams. It's always so funny that somehow, again, this goes back to the same stuff you said, which is I'm tired of him being judged of the 2 bad Super Bowls he's played in versus the million great games in the playoffs he's had.
Yeah, it's also, hey, what have you done for me lately? And people, he lost in the Super Bowl. And so people look at that and quickly lose their mind about what they had already seen and act like, well, you can't recover from what happened in the Super Bowl. And I think that's just ludicrous, especially when he has the same head coach that's going to be a Hall of Famer and maybe go down as the greatest coach of all time when his career's over, depending on how many more rings he gets and how, frankly, Bill Belichick is perceived over the next couple of years with everything that's happening, even away from what he did in New England now.
His stuff's interesting.
You know, the Patrick Mahomes stuff this year can quickly just like that quickly switch. It's weird. Like either they're either too good and people think there's some conspiracy, or now it's, well, he's just done and he's not going to be the best quarterback in football. Like that's like right now people are more just writing them off as they're not going to be there. And then by week 6, I think by the end of week 2, by the way, by week 3, people are going to be like, the league just wants it to happen again kind of thing. So nobody will give them, quote unquote, their props at this point. They're either going to go back to thinking it's all set up for Taylor Swift and the Chiefs, or they're going to say that they're washed and they're stuck on that the dynasty is over and they're washed right now as we sit on July 7th.
It's an ebb and flow, and I think we're just pretending like it's not. So here, the only comparable quarterback to him probably in any point in his career is going to end up being Tom Brady. So I'll put Tom Brady stats. Tom Brady, after winning multiple Super Bowls, after winning, I don't even think he'd won an MVP yet by this point. Hadn't even won an MVP yet, but multiple Super Bowl winner, 29 years old. He is a firmly established winning quarterback in the NFL, coming off of a year in which he was the second lowest in interceptions in the league and led the league in passing yardage. The following year, went 3,500, played a full 16 games, only threw for 3,500 yards, 24 touchdowns and 12 picks. The year after, so you're like, wow, down year for Tom. A little weird. The year after that, 4,800 yards and 50 touchdowns, led the league in both with Randy Moss. 2 years after that, after he recovers from the injury, 4,200 yards, 28 touchdowns, 13 picks. Does that sound familiar to you? The 28, 13, 4,000 is, that's because it's Patrick Mahomes stats from last year. This is what a down year looks like for an all-time elite quarterback. I actually think it's more likely that Patrick Mahomes throws for 4,500 yards and 40 touchdowns than repeats the statistical season he had from last year.
Well, yeah, based off of you're going to be worse at left guard, but if your left tackle gives you average play, and the key being Rice, Worthy, Hollywood Brown, if those guys are on the field majority of the season, doesn't have to even be for all 17. In Hollywood Brown's case, give me 14 games. I'll sign up for it right this second based off of his unfortunate track record and obviously the preseason injury last year. Rashee Rice being the biggest key to this whole thing, because you and I both think that he is a 1,200, I think 13-plus 100-yard receiver this year if he only misses two games.
Did I finally see some criminal case stuff for him over the
weekend? That was civil stuff. There's a civil case, a court date, I should say, for the civil case in January of next year. But that's civil. The NFL doesn't go off of that, so we don't know. I think we're about 5 to 6 weeks away from finding out if anything's happening this year in terms of suspension.
Isn't like the I don't like Mahomes kind of can squash this conversation of the hot take of, you know, they're falling off or he's falling off. But
quick,
when Andy retires, it's gonna circle all the way back around in a similar but different way of it. What was it, Andy Reid or was it Patrick Mahomes? And then Tom Brady showed it was more Tom Brady than
that's
Bill Belichick.
Why I don't think people will say Andy Reid as much this time around.
Yep.
I think that conversation
right
will be
now,
more
yeah,
people
than it
lean
was.
Towards
it'll
the player.
And it's going to be late. Like if Mahomes comes out and does, if he didn't even have to win one, in my opinion, to squash that narrative of it was both of them, if anything. But I think this conversation that we're having would come back around whenever Andy Reid retires, just because it's going to be the conversation of, well, was it actually Andy Reid or was it Patrick Mahomes? Like this is. I think it's going to recirculate itself in a way in 4 or 5 years whenever Andy's done.
And look, everybody has ego. Everybody has, you know, legacy in mind. I get the sense, though, based off of some of the stuff we've heard post-New England era with the two and what has maybe gone on there, I truly believe this. Like, Andy wants to win. Andy's all about winning and all that. I don't think he'll even... Like, there was a sense that Belichick wanted to make sure people knew.
Yeah.
I don't get that sense happening with Andy. So that's why I don't think the debate will even be as strong because you will not have stuff leaking out years down the road about, and you know what I'm saying? You will not have that same almost animosity, if you will.
And because they had two separate careers because Andy had the separate career before where he was an excellent coach the entire time, but came up short the entire time, right? His teams were good. They made it to NFC title games with guys
They went to Super Bowls though.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick
won Super
before,
Bowl, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but before NFC title games, I think.
Yeah,
but they did not have, going back to the conversation whether or not it would be the same as Brady and Belichick.
They were never separated.
Yeah, Belichick, we all know he was with the Browns and did not have success there or anything like that. And then it was just, they were with each other forever until Brady left for 2 years in Tampa and then one with Bruce Arians.
And now Bill Belichick doesn't even have a job in the league. I think because of the way this whole thing went
down. He's still the head coach of North Carolina. To be honest, are you surprised he still is a head coach?
I thought that deadline might come and they might have to reevaluate that part of it. Let's see if it can find its way onto this
list. He coaches in a month and a half. I mean, in his first game.
Drew, you're a big college football fan, and Gold sent us this link over the weekend, which we all found obviously infinitely fascinating for this. Maybe Bill Belichick one day find himself on the list made over at CBS Sports of the worst college football coaching hires this century.
25 of them. And KU has two.
That's it?
They could add four. They could add four.
They could add four. Are you sure it's only four?
They did the top 25.
It's pretty bad.
Number 8 on the list was Les Miles, who was 3-18. Unfortunately, wasn't all the way there. I mean, the whole thing was a mess. He was David Beatty's replacement. I would argue David Beatty could have been on this list as well. He's not. And then higher on the list, deservedly so, Charlie Weiss was 5th. as the fifth worst coaching hire of the last century.
Only fifth.
He was 6-22. He went with the all-in JUCO approach. Remember when he was all excited bringing Dane Crist as his quarterback? I was a student at the time. I was excited about that. I bought in.
Yeah, students always
do. Now his son's doing a really good job as an OC at Ole Miss. He's going to be a head coach here pretty soon. But
did Prince? Did he Turner Gator?
Turner Gill? How's Turner Gill not on this list?
Oh, man, yeah. God, Turner Gill?
He's not on the top 25. KU could have had three or four. The number one worst hire, there's a tie. Mike Price at Alabama and Michael Haywood at Pittsburgh. They fired their coach before they ever coached a game. That's why.
Because this century, Odoman. Oh, it's this century. So, yeah. Oh, man. I was trying to think about like which other guys.
Chad Morris at Arkansas was number four. Ty Willingham at Washington. Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. Just a couple other ones that might ring a bell. I'm not going to. So Derek Dooley at Tennessee. Greg Robinson at Syracuse.
I'm surprised that some of these aren't a little bit higher, like Charlie Strong.
Willie Taggart.
But Mike Taggart didn't even really coach, man. He got hired at Alabama, got fired before he coached game.
Those are the worst ones. I'm just saying, like, Charlie Strong is 20 on this list.
It's interesting
because the criteria in this is four things they took into account. Did the hire make sense? Did the coach's predecessor have success? Does the program have resources to win? Why didn't it work?
Unless Miles getting so bad. David Payne didn't have success before him.
I was going to say, I think that Charlie Strong deserves to be much higher on this list because he was at Texas.
Yeah, resource-wise, I hear you.
And was really good at Louisville and didn't
The reason why he's 20th is because as bad as it was by Texas' standards, he still won 16 games. I'm not saying that's good enough at Texas by no means, but like I think that's the difference. Some of these other guys won two games.
Sure.
You know, Charlie Strong did win 16 games, but yeah, what sealed his fate was losing to Kansas.
I think they should be factoring in the ones who got a crazy amount of money and it went flop. Where's Jimbo Fisher? Like, it didn't go.
But he wasn't winning two games a year.
I know, but it went horribly at Texas A&M, and they gave him $8 trillion.
Yeah.
I mean, they paid him like, didn't they pay him like 10 years and like a. $200 million or something?
They're still paying.
Yeah. It was his buyout at one point, I believe, was $95 million.
I guess he did go 9-1 1 year. I mean, he was looking it up. He went 9-1.
He
was awful outside that 1 year. He won his relative. He went 9-4 I mean, he went 9-4 his first year, 8-5, 8-4, 5-7, 6-4. So besides that one 9-1 season, they were awful. I mean, not awful. They were like Kansas State.
I think
they were like a good team, like a bowl team, bowl eligible team, but not like worse than Kansas State probably the rest of the
season. The reason why I think obviously the KU situation has been bad up until Lance Leipold has since basically resurrected the program essentially from the dead.
Right.
But you brought up Jimbo Fisher, like he got hired off of the national title he won at Florida State, where it's interesting, a lot of success outside of the SEC. Or at a bigger quote-unquote conference, and then you go to that bigger conference, and all of a sudden we're starting to realize maybe you're not as good of a coach as we actually perceived you to be when you were coaching in an easier conference and happened to have great players that won a national title because he was a great recruiter.
This is probably because they were such a bad team and because of, like, my college football comes from, like, the big boys playing the important games, a lot of that stuff. How? Because I saw one name on this list, and I didn't know anything about his tenure at the school. How on earth did Syracuse let Greg Robinson stay the coach as long as he coached 42 games and only won 5 of them?
Syracuse
How is he allowed to coach
Syracuse
42 games?
Because Syracuse didn't take football that seriously.
I mean, I'd argue Kansas didn't there for a stretch, but they at least kept trying to hire coaches. They took it serious enough to at least fire the guy who stuck.
Yeah, but Kansas went to an Orange Bowl during the century
Fair.
I mean, Syracuse, no pun intended, the Orange men were going anything.
I think in a way,
or the Orange, I guess they're called now.
It is interesting when you bring that up, though, because you look at like KU and even Duke had up until like David Cutcliffe had kind of helped things out, and now they've got Manny Diaz, who's doing a good job. Basketball schools are typically not known for. You know, when you're a basketball school, the football takes lesser priority, and as a result, you're just assuming that you're going to be okay with what you have, and you're not as committed to that, I guess, maybe in Syracuse's case.
So those Nebraska fans, by the way, Mike Riley did make the list.
I'm surprised Scott Frost didn't make the list, because
Scott Frost didn't make the list?
No, I don't think Scott Frost
did. They said
he
just missed making it. Yeah.
I think Riley was worse than, was not as bad as Scott Frost was, because he was brought in after the UCF success. He is an alum. Everything pointed to them being good, and it just
4-8, 5-7, 3-5, 3-9, and then 1-2.
The reason why, and I think a fair
Riley
reason
was
why,
bad
where,
too,
where I kind of like this list is, he, unfortunately for them, they made the mistake of it can't get worse. They had a good program and a good thing going with Bo Pelini.
That's a good point.
Versus
it
Foss,
got much,
right?
It got much
it
worse.
Got, wait, the they had a guy thing, who had a functional, organizational, working program in order, fired that guy, and then got mediocre immediately, and then it went from bad to worse. So, like, I think that's part of the reason, like, Riley gets the edge over Frost.
Yeah, you're gonna put your senior Whittison gear back on. A lot of people on the text line are saying, "What the hell is Gold wearing?" Well, if you missed the start of the show, we launched the Whittisons, and Cody and I are the senior Whittisons. It's time Bobby Wood Jr.
Can
had
we get
his
the
own
sound
fan
one more
club.
Time, you know?
Yeah, needed his own fan club, especially after the All-Star voting has gone the way it has and the selections, and Bobby's still not a starter in the All-Star game after two seasons here. Yeah. Last two. It's ridiculous. So we want to support Bobby Wood Jr., the best shortstop in baseball. And on Sunday, we're having a Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest out at Kauffman Stadium. More details to come this week. And so today we're launching, and so yeah, we're rocking the mullets. We're rocking the sunglasses and the crown, and Cody had to give his up for like 5 minutes, and he's back.
I am back for 15 minutes. Speck made me not look the part, which made it probably even more confusing for anybody who might have turned into the video stream during that time. But yes, I still, and this is not, Jacob Wilson has had a perfectly fine year. Bobby Wood Jr. is one of the three best players of the sport, and he does not get the star treatment amongst Major League Baseball that he deserves. And so the Whittisons is an idea of if we all band together, and by the way, you'll be able to buy this stuff at Kauffman Stadium.
This is now officially sanctioned by the Royals.
Yeah, they're on board. They say, okay, we're good. You guys can, the shirts can be at the stadium. We can have all this stuff on board. The barbers will be outside the gates at Kauffman at 10:30, ready to give you a Bobby Witt Jr. haircut for the lookalike contest or not for the lookalike contest. We will have, I think, more of these wigs available as well. Can't speak to the level of
their
this
high quality,
quality
ones.
These
the
crowns
ones we have are very high quality.
Alex and I, you know, we don't skimp on the budget as it comes out sometime, mm-hmm. You know, so ours are quite jeweled up. But, you know, we'll have stuff available for you because we want you guys to join it. We're taking a lot of pride in our self-proclaimed title of senior Whittisons to make sure that the rest of you are on board. So we'd love to see you all out there on Sunday. Starting at 10:30, all that stuff will go down. Big activation outside the stadium, right outside the gates. So we can get you all ready to go before you go watch the Royals play on Sunday. It's going to be fun. So, yes, that's why you were dressed up that way, and now I'm back.
Yeah, very confusing for those on the stream. I get it.
It'd be even weirder for you when it was only when it's two of us, you know something's going on. When only one person's dressed like that, you're like, I'm not exactly sure why Alex.
But that is why.
Like that.
That is why. If you haven't watched the stream today, you should check it out. Give it a little look. You should always be subscribing to the stream anyway. That way you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Up next, thinking of that All-Star game, the rosters are announced. The Royals have two representatives. Let's talk through why the Royals don't have a couple more and the reported interest the Royals might have in an outfielder. That's coming up here on Cody and Gold.